This message is a product of Vortex Church in Albemarle, North Carolina. We thank you for engaging this conversation. Messages like this one are great resources to help us grow, but they cannot replace being a part of a local church. If you're not actively a part of a church, we encourage you to find one near you that fits you, visit it, and get involved. And we hope this message gives life to you today. Enjoy.
Well, hey, everybody. It's so good to be here tonight. I have the pleasure of introducing somebody tonight that literally changed my life. About 11 years ago, a little over a decade ago, we're part of a church planting organization, and they did these gatherings for pastors. I didn't pay attention to it and missed the one that was happening in Charlotte. Didn't just miss it. It was, 45 minutes away. So I looked at the ones that were remaining, and I thought, I've never been to Colorado Springs. Might as well fly, go see the Rockies. And I was invited to a dinner the night before with a group of pastors, and I got sat next to Pastor Dan Stahlbaum. We were young in our church, and at that moment, maybe I was a little discouraged, a little disillusioned, maybe even a little disheartened. And that night, Pastor Dan and Pastor Greg Surratt, who sat on the other side, spent the entire evening encouraging me, giving me ideas. Why don't you try this? You can do this. And the next day, Pastor Dan went out of his way to come find me and ask for my phone number. And over the next few months, out of nowhere, he just called me. How you doing? Everything good? Have you tried this? And I say this, like I taught the other day about Elijah and Elisha. Elijah picked Elisha, and he picked me that day and brought me into his spiritual family. And our church is radically different because of his presence in my, I call him my pastor, okay? So if any of y'all talk junk about him, we can go outside and I'll take care of you, okay? So would y'all welcome my pastor, Dan Stahlbaum.
Yes. Woo. Wow. I'd like to meet that guy. He sounds so good. I always hear these announcements and I'd like, can my family hear that? No. Hey, we're all real, right? It's such an honor to be here. It's such an honor to be able to watch what God can do in a place, Albemarle. I mean, I didn't even know this place existed. In fact, a lot of people still don't, right? But anyway, just been a great privilege of mine to get to know Pastor Kevin and Amanda and the family here at Vortex. I'm so blessed to be able to be here with you today. I'm going to jump right into it. I want you to pretend something for me. Can we pretend in church? Oh, wait a second. Now, I know half of you pretending right now that you're happy. You got a smile. No. So can we pretend in church? Yes. Okay, that's the other six of you. One more time. Can we pretend in church? Yes. Woohoo! Yeah, there we go. Get a little action here. So pretend you have a piece of string. Come on. Get your string up here, people. Get your string up here. Oh, you got a long one. Look at that, man. You're way out here, man. You get to see personalities. I got my string. Some poor little person over there go, I got my string. You know? So you got this string, right? Now forget about it for a minute. Relax, okay? We'll get back to that string, all right? I'll get back to it in just a little bit. So we're going to talk a little bit. I love the video and really dovetails with what I'm going to talk to you a little bit about today. And the title of the message is God Needs Your Donkey. I think that's an interesting title. God Needs Your Donkey. Or in Colorado, they have a race called Get Your Ass Over the Pass. You have to take a donkey, and they race like prospectors over the pass. So you thought I was cussing, right? That's with you people. Come on. I'm not cussing. Okay, anyway. So let me just go to Matthew 5, 13. It starts with, you're the salt of the earth. You're the light of the world. Let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. See, what I believe is we exist, and this is intimidating to me, but we exist to make every situation. Now, I'm not batting 100. I'm not batting probably 90. I'm probably, 62.7 or something. But we're supposed to make every situation we go into a little brighter, a little sweeter, a little tastier. That's the call of the church in the world we live in today, and you're the church. And so I want to just talk a little bit about how Vortex, from the very beginning, became intentional about having some lanes. I'll give you the lanes real quick, and then we'll get back to the string, that we move in the body of Christ. So real easy, and it's in Acts. It's from Acts 1:8, and it says, "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, to the ends of the earth." So we might take this as Jerusalem local, Albemarle, then Samaria, Judea, Samaria. We might take that as, Stanley County, North Carolina, right? Or even the whole of the United States. And then it says, and the ends of the earth. So we know that our gospel commission, our legacy lanes are local, national, and global, right? And I got news for you. Every one of you has a part in preaching the gospel locally, nationally, and internationally. And some of you are looking at me like, yeah, I don't know about all that. But anyway, let's go a little bit further. It says in 1 Corinthians 9:22, New Living, this is. It says, when I am with those who are weak, I share their weaknesses, for I want to bring the weak to Christ. So what do in the local church? In the local community we live in, we want to help the hurting. Now, all of this is lined and designed by Vortex and Pastor Kevin, the vision and the team here. And I'm not going to give you details or specifics, but the truth is you are called to reach people in your neighborhoods. You're called to give a big tip at the restaurant you have your coffee at. You're called to brighten days, build up people. You know the number one day that people don't want to work in our communities? Sunday morning. The after church crowd comes in, takes all day, they eat for 2.5 hours, and they leave hardly any money on the table. God forbid. Let Albemarle know that Jesus is not poor and that he has care for those who serve them. Amen? And if people are serving me, I want to bless them. Anyway, so let's move on a little bit further. So that's the local thing. We want to just help people who are weak, minister to them. They see our good works to glorify our God, which is in heaven. Nationally, we do that. ARC is a big part of that. Globally, great. So let's look at this verse now. God needs your donkey. So we got lanes. You got a piece of string? Still got your string? Let me see. Is yours getting longer or shorter? The guy next to you threw his away. He thought, this is stupid. I am not doing this anymore. Okay, I get it. So I'm going to read a little section about a donkey. It says, after Jesus had said this, he went on ahead going up to Jerusalem. And as he approached Bethpage and Bethany at the hill called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples saying to them. So he picks two of the guys. And I said, and he gives them some instructions. This is what he says. Go to the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, why are you untying it? Say the Lord needs it. Those who were sent ahead and went found it just as he had told them. And as they were untying the colt, could you imagine if it was you or me and we're untying the colt? We're just like, get this thing. Let's get out of here. I don't want to see anybody. I don't want to talk to anybody. Get this thing and run. But Anyway, so they're trying to do that, but in the middle of doing it, it says, let me see here, the Lord needs it. Why are you untying the colt? And they replied, the Lord needs it. And they brought it to Jesus, threw their cloaks on the colt, put Jesus on it. And as he went along, people spread their cloaks on the road. And when he came near the place where the road goes down to the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in a loud voice for all the miracles they had seen. What is this in the Bible? This is the triumphal entry. This is Jesus coming into Jerusalem as the triumphant servant king. And that's the picture we're talking. And he's riding this donkey that's never been ridden before. Very miraculous thing. And so it goes on to say, blessed is the king who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. So did you know that you have things that God needs? This is a concept you might not have put together in your mind before. God, Jesus, needed a donkey. And he needed that donkey to a very specific one that had never been ridden, one that was, of course, available, one that, you know, somebody would be willing to give. And Jesus needed it. And where did he go to get it? From someone. Have you ever wondered why you don't find, like, you know, Lord, we really need a breakthrough. Our vehicle's dying. We really, Lord, just give us, help us, Jesus. And you get up the next morning and a car has manifested in the driveway. Anybody ever have that happen? Good. Okay, because that's not the way it works. You know, I have actually given cars away and received cars. See, but that was Jesus, right, doing it through the people who gave it to me and me doing it, you know, Jesus doing it through me. But the truth is, this principle is, we know the scripture, and God will shall meet all of my needs according to his riches and glory. But what about God's needs? Have you ever thought, is there anything you need today, Lord? Is there anything in my life that I can untie? Come on, hang in here with me. That I can untie for you. That I can take from over here on the side, which really, that donkey's been useless up till now. Nobody's ever rode it. All it's done is eat and the other thing that donkeys do. Bray, what were you thinking? You guys, I'll tell you. Woo, man, Pastor Kevin. See, God needs what you have. Listen to what it says in Zechariah 9:9. Rejoice greatly, daughter of Zion. Shout, daughter Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you, righteous and victorious, lowly and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. See, this was a prophetic word given decades, you know, eons ago. And yet, to fulfill the prophetic word of Scripture, God needed a donkey. And he didn't just manifest one. That's not the way it works. If God needs a donkey, he's going to have to get it from one of us. And you have gifts, talents, abilities that God is wanting you to loose and let go for the sake of his kingdom, to take a risk. Many of you in here that God wants to put in a position you never dreamed you could be in, you have things that need to be untied for God's purpose. Time, resources, gifts, whatever it may be. So to supply God's needs, it takes a right response from us. To meet God's needs, it takes a right response to us. Now, just think about it for a minute. Imagine, what did you drive or did you come with somebody? What'd you drive? What kind? A Honda car? Like a Honda what car? A Honda Accord. There you go. Were you in one Accord when you, no, never mind. So What year is it? Okay. Anybody have a nice new car? Because you're going to, this doesn't work as good with a Honda Accord. Okay, just being honest with you. Huh? So anybody have a BMW? You got one? Your dad has one? Awesome. Is it in the parking lot? That won't work. Okay. Anybody got, let me see, who's got, give me a nice car, Kevin. What kind of car? Anybody got a Chevy Tahoe? So let's just say, for example, we use Pastor Kevin because that'll be easier. So he goes out in the parking lot, and there's two guys out there opening the door and hotwiring his Tahoe. And he screams, and they say, hold it, Pastor. The Lord needs it. That fixes everything, doesn't it? I mean, I just did it, man. Pastor Kevin goes, oh, well, on second thought, here, let me give you the keys. I mean, you know. But these people did. Their view of stewardship must be different than what mine is a lot of the time. I don't know about you, but somebody goes to get my Dodge truck out of the parking lot, and they say the Lord needs it, and I'm going to say, yeah, and he told me I could have it. I'm going to fight for it. So, anyway, they saw themselves as holding this colt loosely for the Lord. They didn't have a tight grip on it. So what I'd like you to do, oh, get your string out again. Yours is about the same size. Okay, good. Okay, whoa, look, you just went way out there. Come on. I want you to take this piece of string. I want you to tie it to something tonight, tomorrow morning, that you know God wants you to loose. You put your hands down now. Come on now. Now, I'm not don't put it around your wife's neck, all right? None of that stuff. You guys are having way too much fun. I didn't come up with that. I heard that back there. Somebody was saying that in the background. And I want you to say, Lord, I want to take a chance now. I just want to hold up my life. And I don't know if it's my time. I don't know if it's my resources. I don't know if it's something I have, like a concrete, you know, thing, like a car or a bike or a, you know, a radio. I don't know. But whatever it is, Lord, I just want you to work something in my heart that I can be the kind of person that when you need something, all you got to do is ask. All you got to do is say the word. I'm not always successful at this. I know we aren't. None of us are. But I do know this, that when I am, it's incredible. And the other thing about it is when I do, I never lose. It's like you think, now what are these people going to do? They don't have a donkey, right? Wrong. Listen to what it says in Mark's gospel. Because most people don't put these two things together, but Mark and gospel writers wrote down what they heard. Mark heard more when the statement was made about the donkey. Listen to what Mark says. The Lord needs it and will send it back here immediately. Jesus said, I need it and you're going to get it back. Now, if it was me, I would start a business in Jerusalem with that donkey. I would just like put it in a closed area where nobody could see it, and I would charge 25 cents for everybody to come in and see this donkey. Jesus rode that donkey. But I mean, I'd do something with it. I mean, I just wouldn't let it go. I'm just being silly. Come on now. Can you imagine walking out with a pail of oats for that donkey a year from now? Looking at that thing and thinking, God asked for this and I gave it to him. It was a miracle that I even did it. Lord, you're so good to me. And here's this donkey reminding me every day that when we lose things for you, we win and never lose. We win and never lose. Somebody say amen. I guess I'll just close with a short story. When we were in our first building program, this is about 1995, 94, somewhere in there, back in the dark ages. And it was the first big number that I had to believe God for. When I say big number, $2 million. That was huge to me. 95, it was bigger than it is today. But anyway, Lord, we're believing for this. And as we were believing and doing it, Carol and I were also looking for a home because my mom, who had fallen, had severe arthritis, she'd fallen, she'd end up in a wheelchair. So she came to live with us and we didn't have room. It's amazing. We had a 2,000 square foot house, but you couldn't get a wheelchair down the hall and into the bathroom because it was a pocket door in the turn. I used to have to pick my mom up, put her on an office chair, and wheel her in the bathroom to go to the bathroom. So we thought, we need a new house. We'll get something, we'll, you know, wider hallways and all that. And we had saved, and I don't remember what it was, but let's just say, you know, $15,000, $20,000 down payment or whatever it was. And we were looking, and we had this house. It was perfect. Ladies, you know what I'm talking about? It was perfect. It had a mother-in-law quarters, and they weren't in the regular house. Oh, glory to God. Could anything be better? It's my mother. I mean, I can be honest, right? But anyway, she don't want to live with me either. So anyway, so it was just perfect. And so we went to him. We made a full offer. And we were paying for it because of certain things that had happened in our life before that. And my mom had put in a bunch of money, so we were just going to pay for it. And it was awesome. Buy this house. It's about $180,000 back then. And I thought, yeah. And they said, no thanks. We want to sell it to somebody who will buy it on time and buy it from us so we can make money on the tax, on the interest, and on the sale of the house. And we don't want to sell it to somebody for cash. And we didn't get the house. And we're like, have you ever given a full price offer for a house, like, and had them look at you and go, no, we don't want it? Anyway, so we're like confused. And I said, Lord, how am I going to do this house thing? And these words came up in my heart. And it isn't like God gets, you know, the smartphone out or the bat phone and calls me and talks to me. It's not like that at all. But I had this thought, and I felt like it was from God, and this was it. If you build my house, I'll build yours. And it was real. It was as real as anything I'd ever heard in my life. And I said, okay, Lord. I didn't know what it meant yet. Okay, sure. What's that mean? Give me your down payment. Well, you know, this donkey's kind of, you know, it's got one leg shorter than the other, and it kind of walks. I wouldn't want Jesus to fall off of it. All the reasoning, rationalization, long story short is we ended up doing it, and we just said, Lord, I don't know how we're going to get a house. I don't know how this is going to work. I don't know what's going to happen. Long story short is we ended up building a house. We built a house, and it cost us $169,000 to buy the lot, build the house, put in a swimming pool and a dock. Yeah, it's harder now, right? But anyway, that was in 1995. In 1998, we sold it for $625,000. If you build my house, I'll build yours. We left that house, walked down to the house we live in now, and paid cash $500,000 for it, and turned around and walked away, because God is faithful. And if you turn things loose for Jesus, you will win and you will never lose. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. You are a great King. And we're just afraid. We're just unsure. We don't know, and we're stepping out. But that's what faith is all about. Lord, by your grace, you gave Carol and I enough faith that day to step out and do something. And you met us in a miraculous, amazing way. God, it doesn't always work out that way. But it always works out that we win and don't lose. So Lord, I lift up these people to you today. Precious, holy, wonderful, your children. And I just ask you, Lord, speak to their hearts. Bring thoughts to their mind about this thought that the Lord needs it. Whatever it is. So speak to our hearts, Lord. Help us to know that we might be able to say yes to you and see miracles in the world we live in. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening. This podcast has been a production of Vortex Church in Albemarle, North Carolina. For more information on our church, we encourage you to visit us online at vortexchurch.com.